psychedelic microdosing on this edition of Truth and Love. I'm Dale Johnson, and you're listening to Truth and Love, a podcast of the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, where we seek to provide biblical solutions to the problems that people face. Today on the podcast, I have with me Dr. Mark Shaw. He's a pastor of counseling at the Nocatee campus of First Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida. He's the founder of the Addiction Connection, a nonprofit equipping ministry for addiction biblical counselors. He's the author of 28 publications, including The Heart of Addiction, and the latest one is called Destigmatizing Addiction, Hope Through the Gospel. His passion is to see the local church offer compassionate biblical counseling to hurting souls. Mark, welcome to the podcast. You're no stranger here to our listeners. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Dale. Great to be with you.
Now, interesting topic that you've chosen here today, and I'm looking forward to diving in here. Crazy things that I'm seeing is the history of psychiatry has been a very interesting flow, broadly cyclical between what's called biological psychiatry and romantic psychiatry, which simply means the idea of biological determinism to things like social and environmental determinism. And we've seen cyclical patterns historically. We're sort of in one of those tumultuous, maybe cyclical changes that's happening right now in the whole psychiatric world. And really what you're starting to feel is a spiritualism that is very akin to some openness toward paganism. I think some of the things you're describing relative to microdosing might be some of that. I'm looking forward to this conversation and how we're going to dive in here. So let me just start. Some people might be saying, what in the world is microdosing? I've never heard of anything like that. And you coupled this with psychedelics. Okay, so let's get into this. Mark, describe what microdosing actually is. And are there specific chemicals involved in this whole idea of microdosing? And how has it become so popular?
Well, it's in the United States, it's illegal right now, from what I understand, but it's legal in places like Australia and has been for 8 or 9 months. And so the idea of it is you're not trying to get high like you would take LSD and magic mushrooms, MDMA and ayahuasca, some of these drugs. You are trying to get a little bit of a bump, a little bit of an improvement. And in Australia, it's being used as an anti-depression, anti-anxiety, anti-PTSD, as they call it. And so it's taking 10 to 20 micrograms for LSD instead of 100 micrograms of LSD for acid trip. You're taking just a small, tiny amount. And instead of having a big trip, they call it, you're having this sub-perceptual meat effect, sub-perceptual. I can't say that. And it occurs without awareness is what they say. But of course, there's awareness and people can feel that. And they say it takes the ordinary things in life and makes it not mundane and more enjoyable to do. And so that's kind of the idea with it. And where I think it crosses both addiction and mental health issues is right there.
Man, this is so interesting because this would be an admission that this is not something that's curative. This is actually much closer to proclaiming that this is some sort of spiritual pursuit in order to alleviate whatever stressors a person is dealing with. This is not unlike the mental health world was prior to the 1950s, as we think about involvement of psychedelics. Now, to a greater degree, when you think about Sigmund Freud or Timothy Leary, but you certainly see that involvement, and they were taking much higher doses of things like cocaine and LSD. But as you move to a more formal product of psychiatry in the terms of what's called chlorpromazine or Thorazine, these things that which were called on the public market executives Excedrin or minor and major tranquilizers, this has been a part of the history of psychiatry. I'm not shocked that we're moving in this type of direction to try and alleviate, you know, some stressors in some way. I think in some ways this is actually helpful to see the secular world is proclaiming some sort of spiritual pursuit that's not a godly pursuit. They're pursuing some sort of pagan reality to try and be in touch with and reduce their stressors and be in touch with some sort of alternate reality. I think it should wake us up as Christians to see what's happening here more broadly. Now, I do want you to describe, and let's be fair to the way the microdosing actually works. What are some of the specific rewards that those who promote microdosing claim? And what are some of those potential risks? Because we know with everything, there are iatrogenic effects, which means there are potential risks for the things that someone may get involved in that are particularly therapeutic. There's always an opportunity cost, a cost benefit that comes with it. So what are some of the claimed rewards of microdosing, and what are some of the potential risks?
First thing they say is that you can perform adequately at work, you can socialize, you can even operate heavy machinery, which scares me a little bit. But they do say there's an increase in creativity, productivity, happiness, decrease in the symptoms of PTSD. But this is more anecdotal, you know, self-report kind of information than actually studied and evidenced in the literature. So, and then they tie to this a group effect. So it's almost a win really for psychotherapy as much as it is for pharmacology, in that they really want you to do this in groups with other people and take these meds and have these journeys, they call them. They don't call them trips anymore, but they're journeys. And you had to do that with a group of people, and everybody's kind of getting high. And that may be a stronger dose than a microdose, but that's going on too. It's a very spiritual experience, is what a lot of the people like Aaron Rodgers and Joe Rogan and people that are promoting it would say. This is a spiritual awakening time for me when I do this.
That's a really interesting step forward. You mentioned that psychotherapists are even promoting this to some degree. That's not shocking, because it becomes a means for them to oppose in many ways the psychiatric establishment and some of the problems that many, many people are now recognizing with a psychiatric approach to medication and some of the risk of taking that type of medication, and now running more toward, you know, this microdosing perspective, which I think is really interesting what you're describing. I want you to help us as biblical counselors as we see this, you know, developing in Australia and other parts of the world, knowing it's probably coming here in part because of the popularity with some celebrities in the U.S. How should we as biblical counselors be thinking about this concept of microdosing?
Well, you know this, you've said this, that it's really a mission that what they've been doing hasn't worked, and they're looking for more ways to treat anxiety and depression and all that. So, but as biblical counselors, I think it's just a false refuge of hope. It's a broken cistern. And so there might be some benefits and some enhancements, but I think the downside is this is just treating quote unquote symptoms, you know, and it's not curative, not even claiming to be. It's just meant to be a help. I mean, sometimes I think people do claim, oh, this is going to cure PTSD or whatnot. But I think as biblical counselors, we need to recognize that it reveals a commitment to feeling good rather than a commitment to being good or doing good, you know, and being obedient. It's the commitment level is, hey, I need to feel better. And that's number one to me, over and above obeying God. And I'm not trying to be unfair when I say that. I want to be careful, but that's what I hear. And then I'm, you know, I talk to people in the addiction world all the time who have relatives and friends. And the anecdotal report I'm hearing is that their loved ones are actually worse after taking this and doing these kinds of treatments. They actually feel more depressed and more out of touch. And it just feeds their flesh, you know, and makes them a little more self-centered and sensual than spiritual, even though it's claiming to be a spiritual remedy in certain ways.
Yeah, interesting perspective that you described there, as wanting to feel good more than we want to do good, knowing that feelings would follow that. And that's a really key and important distinction, that they're not even claiming this is something that's curative on, you know, a biological level. They're just saying that this can relieve the stress and pressure that comes from, you know, whatever's complicating their life or making their stress a little bit more difficult, the trauma on some level or whatever. Help us to think a little bit more about what motivates a heart of addiction in regard to or pressing into microdosing. In other words, why is this something that will be tempting to so many and has been tempting to celebrities in the Western world?
I think, you know, none of us want suffering, but suffering is redemptive. God uses it redemptively in our lives. And it's these suffering experiences that lead us back to God, the great physician. And so just trying to fix suffering in a fleshly, temporal, worldly kind of way is not God's way. And so God has given us a local church. He's given us his word, his spirit, all kinds of resources to help us deal with indwelling sin and the shame and guilt that comes from that. But then also suffering, which is oftentimes is not our fault, but we're suffering maybe at the hands of another person and some of the choices they've made that were sinful. And so God wants us to come to him with greater faith and greater trust and to run to the body of Christ and to get help that way. And so I think this is just almost capitalistically, individualistically a way to fix it without God and without the body of Christ. And those are some of the dangers that I see with it.
Yeah, not to mention the addictive properties that we know historically psychedelics possess. And so, man, very interesting conversation today, Mark. Thank you for introducing us to this topic and helping us to think biblically on what inevitably is coming to the U.S. at some point. We've seen a little bit with the gateway drug of marijuana being used in similar ways to what we're describing here. Now to think about this in terms of psychedelics, some would argue ketamine is a precursor of some of this, but very interesting stuff that you're describing here. Thanks for staying on top of it and keeping us informed here, brother.
Thank you.
Listening to Truth and Love, a podcast of ACBC. And as Mark and I were talking about this issue of microdosing, it reminds me of some of the advanced topics, these new types of things that come out that we need to have biblical response to. How do we think about these things biblically? And maybe you're asking that same question, and I look forward to telling you about our training that we do through ACBC, our counseling discipleship training, where we teach our fundamentals, and we also teach advanced training. And so for those of you who have never encountered biblical counseling training or are interested in doing fundamentals, we offer those fundamentals, but we also offer for those of you who have done fundamentals and maybe you want to go further in training, learning about things like microdosing and other advanced topics, we would love to have you join us for our counseling discipleship training. There are two of those happening in the spring, and you can make plans to be there for those now. One is happening in Abilene, Texas. The first weekend is February 28th at Southside Baptist Church there in Abilene, Texas. The second one is in Union City, Tennessee at Second Baptist Church, and that first weekend starts March 21st. We would love to have you join us. If you're not close and if that's not convenient, I also want to remind you of our training centers. Our training centers are spread all throughout the United States and some internationally as well, and you can have similar advanced training at those places, and you can find out more information about our counseling discipleship training, as well as our training centers around the world, where they're doing training, when they're doing training, what type of training they're doing. And you can find out that information at biblicalcounseling.com.